97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We're about to launch one of the biggest advertising campaigns in HHS history to encourage Americans to use wearables. It's a way of people can take control over their own health. They can take responsibility. They can see, as you know, what food is doing to their glucose levels, their heart rates, and a number of other metrics as they eat it. And they can begin to make good judgments about their diet, about their physical activity, about the way that they live their lives. We think that wearables are a key to the MAHA agenda, making America healthy again. And we are going to, my vision is that every American is wearing a wearable within 4 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea what RFK Jr. there is suggesting, which is to have every American within 4 years wearing one of those wearable devices. So whether it be a smartwatch, a fitness tracker like the Apple Watches, or they're called what, the Aura Rings or something like that. I know those are really popular. They would essentially monitor your heart rate, your blood pressure, your glucose levels. I see value in that. I think it's going to be a hard sell. In fact, there's many people online who are saying, you know, I tried wearing one of those little fitness trackers on my wrist and it ended up leading to some sort of a rash. And they became very, very addicted to kind of like a cell phone with social media where you realize you're checking it nonstop. And people said it was so addicting that they actually didn't want it anymore.
Hell no.
The other thing people are saying is I'm worried this will allow them to track me.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to track
Americans
people.
Are not going to do that. You can make your best recommendation. You know what? If it's the government's recommendation that you don't smoke, there you have it. The people that are going to keep smoking are going to keep smoking. If it's the government's recommendation that you get a fitness tracker of some sort, it doesn't have to. It can be a Garmin. It doesn't have to be a, you know, an Apple Watch that's $400 or $500. Then, if that's what you want to do, do it. RFK is not going to be able to force every American to wear one of those things.
But I don't think he's forcing everybody, because that would be ridiculous.
Didn't he say that was his goal?
That's his goal. But there's no way he's going to say, all right, line up. You have to be here by this time and this date. I'm going to glue this watch to your wrist. You cannot take it off. There's no way that would ever stand.
No.
But just to make the suggestion of, hey, this would be a really good idea. I think it's the idea that... It's the notion that this is something we probably should care more about than we do right now, because we've had such a sharp increase in chronic diseases. And it's not just among the older populations. It's among kids. Kids at a very young age are developing these chronic issues, and it's causing more problems as they become adults. And it's very, very expensive.
Right.
And we already spend so much money, astronomical amounts of money, in the health industry, and yet we're so, so sick as a nation.
Well, he's on the right track. I like a lot of what he's doing. I mean, I think that you can get a little overboard with it when it comes to tracking people's health. Some of those things are beneficial. I mean, I know a lot of people who are always focused on how many steps they've done today. I'm worried about how many steps I've made from here to the coffee maker in the morning. That's about it. I need to be more aware of those things. It doesn't hurt to talk about them. There are important issues that they're dealing with up there. For example, let me see if I got my audio turned off here. Here we go. This is what RFK said yesterday during this hearing, and these are the kinds of things that people need to pay attention to.
The United States remains the sickest developed nation, and yet we spend $4.5 trillion annually on healthcare, 2 to 3 times more per capita to comparable nations. Clearly, something is structurally wrong with our approach. Furthermore, healthcare costs are steadily increasing at a rate of 2% greater than the economy. This is unsustainable.
He's right. Think about that. It's like the argument we got into the other day with some of the people on the Facebook page about education spending. The city of St. Louis spends double what a lot of districts do, and their results suck. It's not about how much money you spend on it. It's about how you carry it out, right? It's about what your policies are and what your curriculum is. And say it's the same with the approach on healthcare.
Well, I think a lot of it is because we're so over-medicated. In many cases, you have to take medication. There's just no way around it. You need to have something to at least serve as a crutch temporarily. In some cases, there might be a particular disease you deal with where you just unfortunately will have to remain on medication the rest of your life, which I 100% would support. However, I think the bigger issue is that we're not getting to the root cause of many of these chronic issues. We're not addressing food that we're taking in. We're not addressing the chemicals that we're exposed to. And I'm not pretending like I'm so great at watching every single thing that I eat. I've been more particular about it recently, but I still wish I were better at saying, okay, I need to read every single ingredient and all the things, but it gets kind of overwhelming for me.
Sure.
It's very time consuming. It's very expensive. And I know that they're making changes. A lot of these companies are taking the food dyes out, like Kraft, or I think it was, or Heinz. I can't even keep track.
Heinz.
Many of these companies are agreeing to do it. Now they are being forced technically to at least remove some of the dyes, I believe by 2027, but many of them are just saying, hey, I'll just go ahead and remove all of the dyes because likely they'll be forced to at some point, depending on, I guess, who's in office after Trump.
We talked about this the other day, and then I had a conversation with somebody who just got back from Europe, and it was an extended vacation, right? Like 3 weeks. This was like the big trip. And the conversation was, when I left here, my allergies were like killing me. I was on a daily allergy pill. Went to Europe for 3 weeks and my symptoms disappeared. Now, it could be that you're here and there's an environmental issue for you here, yard clippings or something, and they don't have some of that same problem wherever you were in France, that same type of pine or whatever that's affecting your allergies. Or it could be that they just do things differently with the food system over there, and that's what caused some of her symptoms to go away. And I think that's something they have to take a hard look at, and it seems to me that RFK Jr. is doing that.
Right, and I think there's some pushback from the medical community because that means if people get healthier, they might not need as many drugs.
Boom.
And that's how they make, not all, but a lot of their money. So you have to, I always say, follow the money. You know, there are some people who have bad intentions when it comes to health as far as they need you to stay sick. This is certainly not all doctors. There's phenomenal doctors out there. We need doctors. We need medication. We need a lot of these things. But we have been so overprescribed medicine and people are so addicted. You have people who have surgeries, have never been addicted to a drug before. They're prescribed an opioid to help with pain relief that is needed in that particular situation because they're in extraordinary pain as they recover. Well, then here you have somebody who is addicted, right? And then they're selling and it just kind of spirals from there. So I really think that at least we have the right, I believe, leader in place. RFK Jr., I believe, is 100% the right person in that position. And he's going to keep trying to get the ball rolling in a better direction than it has been. Because we've been going downhill for many, 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 many years.
It's true. And when they talked about a ban on pharmaceutical ads.
Oh, see, I would love that.
It sent a shiver through commercial broadcasting because it would be no different than it would be for this radio station because you'll hear ads on here occasionally for certain drugs. Hell, they were advertising for the COVID vaccine for a while.
Oh, yeah.
These big companies, because, you know, it's a commercial radio station. And if they come knocking on the door with a bunch of money, just like any politician, whether we agree with them or not, if they've got enough money to buy the ad time, they can run an ad on a commercial radio station or a commercial TV station.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking about limiting the kind of ads pharmaceutical companies could air. So you're not seeing that one ad for I don't know what it is for people that are overweight. That's where they're dancing down the street. I've seen that ad over and over and over again. It would eliminate those.
And it sounds crazy to us because we're so used to hearing on the radio or seeing on TV so many of these ads.
Right.
But it's really not that crazy considering we're one of the only countries. In fact, I think we're one of two countries in the world that allows these types of advertisements. Many of these companies or countries, rather, they ban it. They're not allowed to do that.
There's a much broader issue here, and I heard RFK bring it up the other day, and that is this issue of controlling drug prices. And I have a little bit of an issue with it. I just have to say, whatever the problem, whatever the reasons are that drugs are cheaper in Europe is partially political and partially the fault of the pharmaceutical companies forever agreeing to it, because they could subsidize the cost of drugs overseas because they could pretty much charge whatever they wanted in the United States, or they could charge the full cost of the drug in the United States for the R&D and all of that. And therefore, to get into these foreign markets, they were willing to sell the drugs at a cheaper price. And now you've got the president and RFK saying, well, we're going to do most favored nation status and we're going to force them to sell it here for the same price they sell it there. Well, that's not going to work. It's not going to work in a capitalist society. They can't keep producing the best drugs in the world if they can't afford to do the R&D on them. So at some point, there's got to be a compromise there. You can't just say that drug is $70 a month in Israel and it's $7,000 a month in the U.S. and you're going to have to match the $70 a month that Israel's getting. That's not going to work. The costs are going to have to go up overseas or those people aren't going to be able to afford the drugs.
Well, that's the problem here,
and they can't cut them to $70 here because they wouldn't be able to afford the R&D it took to produce them.
I get your point, and I agree to an extent, and I just don't know what the solution is, because I don't know that it's to force them to lower them here, but at some point, people can't even afford the drug.
No,
like, you're making all of these things, but then if people can't afford to even get it and use it, what good does it do?
Well,
so
again,
that's the only, I don't know what the solution is, and I don't make the big money to
want big
be in that
government
position to solve that problem.
I'm not sure I want big government making those decisions at the end of the day.